call from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Here's mail call. One big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear. In answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. With this mail call, we salute the rugged men who have fought these many months of the Italian campaign. And here to add her glamorous presence to our tribute is one of Hollywood's most beautiful and talented stars. Your mistress of ceremonies, Miss Anne Rutherford.
And it's really a privilege to join in these special greetings to our fighting men in Italy who face not only a tough enemy, but some of the worst terrain and weather of the war. But then this is mail call, and it's time for me to start handing the pen and ink around. Here to dash off the first paragraph is one of your favorite singing groups, the King Sisters, with the very latest in hip harmony, Accentuate the Positive.
Gather around me, everybody, gather around me, while I preach on, fill a sermon, come in on me.
The topic will be filled, that's what I'm again.
If you wanna hear my story,
then tell her back and just reply.
Doing right.
You gotta accentuate the positive evening. Money the negative latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You gotta spread joy to the maximum. Bring the bloom down to the minimum. Have faith, a pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, you're in the way, no in the yard. What did they do just when everything looks so dark? Man, they said you better act
the positive, easy. Money's the negative.
Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Haircut. And I'm sure that if the fellow who wrote Accentuate the Positive were here, he'd agree that you really did it proud.
Bet I would, Ann. Bet I would.
Well, Johnny Mercer. Oh, Johnny, it's a real pleasure to have you with us tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Ann, especially with you as mistress of ceremonies.
Oh, now, Johnny.
No, really, Ann, I've always admired you so on the screen. You give a role such intelligent treatment, such depth of feeling, such beautiful legs.
Now, Johnny, please. Please, Johnny, this is mail call.
Well, I'm a male and I'm calling.
But all this is a little bit besides the point, Johnny. You see, there's something I'd like very much to discuss with you.
And, girl, speak right up.
Well, Johnny, you know, all my life I've wanted to write a song, a real hit tune. I think I could do it, too. I have even talents, you know.
Those too, hmm?
Now, Johnny, stop. You're one of our finest songwriters. I'm sure you could help me.
Well, what have you got in mind?
Well, you see, I know you're just the kind of a fella who could sit in some corner with me and spend the evening just discussing music.
How much you want to bet? I'm only kidding, Ann. I'll be only too glad to help you.
Oh, swell. Well, what I'd like you to do is collaborate with me on a song. Will you, Johnny?
Well, what part do you want me to write?
Oh, just the words and music.
I see, and you write the publisher. Look, Ann, do you happen to know anything at all about music?
Oh, certainly. Quite a bit, in fact.
Good. Maybe we can work something out, then. Now, when we write this song together, I'll go over to a piano, and you go over to a piano, and
well, I don't play the piano.
Well, then, I'll pick up the violin, and you'll pick up the violin, and...
But I don't play the violin, either.
How about the saxophone?
Well, I don't play that, either. See, I'm afraid I'm pretty useless.
Well, believe me, Ann, whatever you play, I'll play it with you.
Oh, no. On second thought, Johnny, I guess we'd better skip the whole thing. I'll get someone else to help me with my song. An older man.
You're making a big mistake, Ann.
I know what I'm doing. I'll get Irving Berlin.
He's overseas.
No, I'll get Dionne Kern.
Oh, he's out of town.
I'll get Cole Porter.
He's busy on a show.
Well, all right. Drop over, Johnny. I'll get him on guard. Meantime, your purpose in coming here tonight was to sing, I believe.
Eminently correct, my girl, if you can call it such. So here we go with Waiting for the Evening Mail. Thank you.
of a fella that I met down on Mobile Bay. He said, brother, won't you please send me down some bills? They caught me tampering with the evening mail. Had another letter, leave it from a man named Stout. Said he was gonna get me soon as I got out. Said he was gonna meet me right there at the jailhouse gate. Boy, he don't know how long he's got to wait. Wrote my one-time mama down in Louisville, and I said to me, mama, now, honey, please don't go. Hurry up and mail some bills. That was a year ago, and I'm still on the inside. Looking at the outside, waiting for the evening mail.
Signature to this mail call letter is a gal who really keeps the APOs and FPOs working overtime. The poor postman may be a little worn out, but it's your letters that keep bringing her back to GI microphones over and over again. So, guys and gals, here's Lena Horne.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, Lena, number one on your request for aid tonight seems to be I'll Walk Alone. Will you sing it for us?
I'd be happy to. But first, I'd like to make a request of all the swell boys who've written me those wonderful letters. You know, fellas, regular letters sometimes take weeks or months to arrive, but V-mail always flies. So why don't you use one of those V-mail forms next time you write, huh? And get your folks to use V-mail when they write you. You'll get your letters promptly. And I know what that means to you. And now, I'm going to walk alone.
Thank you. For just one number from you.
Okay. Here's another one you boys seem to like. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind. From the sky, as long as there's sunshine in your eyes. Sometimes I hate you, sometimes I love you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am. What can I do? Sometimes I say I will, and then I say I won't. Sometimes I think I do, and then I know I don't.
A very bright young man who has climbed right up to the top of the radio heap during the past couple of years. Here he is, Jimmy Durante's sidekick and positively no relation to Umbriago, Gary Moore. Gary, I want you to know that I listen to your program all the time. I think it's just well. In fact, it's one of the best on the air.
Well, how do you like that? With all her beauty, she's intelligent, too. But thanks, Dad. At least ours is one of the few all-male shows left on the air.
What do you mean?
Well, look at all the women in radio today. There's one on every program. George Burns has Gracie Allen, Fibber McGee has Molly, and even Gabriel has his heaters.
Yes, things are going that way, by golly.
Well, I guess the time will soon be here, Ann, when women will take over radio completely. But, see, there's one program that I hope they don't change.
Which one is that?
Well, one of these days you'll turn on your radio, and I'm afraid this is what you'll hear. Mrs. District Attorney! Champion of the people, defender of the truth! And say, what a neck and a rumble seat! At your District Attorney's office, the wheels of justice are grinding in their relentless fashion.
Good morning, Mrs. District Attorney.
Oh, come in, Mr. Miller. Did you bring the files?
Yes, Chief.
Well, don't just stand there. Give me a manicure.
Well, Well, I have some important news, Chief. We just caught a crook who stole 6 pairs of silk stockings.
What news? What girl? What color? What size? Oh, never mind that small fry, Mr. Miller. I'm going after bigger game. The biggest racketeer in this town.
You mean?
Yes. Griselbean Moore. I'll go out and get him if it's the last thing I do. I wonder what racket that rat is thinking up right now.
I'm telling you, there's a fortune in it, $1 million.
Are you sure about that, Griselbean?
I'm positive. Just as sure as your name is Harry the Brain.
Oh, yeah, that is my name, ain't it?
Yeah. Look, counterfeiting is foolproof if you do it right. When we got caught for those $25 bills, it was your fault.
What did I do?
I told you 100 times, put on Lincoln's picture, not Superman.
But I never read Lincoln.
Well, now this time we can't get caught. We're going to counterfeit pennies.
Whose picture is on this?
Lincoln.
Here we go again.
Listen, you're wrong, Brain. It's a perfect plan. Who'd suspect that we'd counterfeit, of all things, pennies? And the best part of it is each phony penny will cost us only 2 cents to make.
Yeah, well, it costs you 2 cents to make a penny?
That's right.
Don't we lose money that way?
No, we fool around with the books.
Boy, you know something? They ought to call you the Brain instead of me.
I often think it's a shame your parents want the type to devour their young. Now, here's the way we operate, see? Here's where we operate. We drive up to a drugstore, one of them big crowded drugstores with people rushing in and out.
So no one will notice us, huh, Bristleby?
That's the idea. I park right outside and I keep the motor running, see? Then you dash into the drugstore.
Yeah.
And you weigh yourself free with a phony penny.
Oh, boy. What a scheme.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You know.
You can't find your place, the cops will never find us.
You know something, Griselbean? If we and yourself with phony pennies, if we can get a B card, we can do it 50 times a day.
Yeah.
We've got to put a stop to this racket, Chief. Griselbean's gone too far this time.
I'll say he has, Mr. Miller. Why, at a conservative estimate, he and his henchmen have weighed themselves free 400,000 times.
Well, can't we do anything, Chief?
Oh, I've tried everything, Mr. Miller. I even disguised myself as a scale and stood in the drugstore. I'm afraid it wasn't a very good disguise, though. I must have looked more like a pinball game.
What makes you think so?
Well, every guy who came along tried to tilt the machine. But I think I have an idea, Mr. Miller. And the next time Griselbean Moore gets on a scale, he's going to get the surprise of his life.
Listen, Brain, I've been looking over the books for the past week. There's something wrong, Brain. You're not getting rid of enough pennies.
Well, I can't help it, Griselbean. The pennies keep coming back.
They keep coming back?
Yeah. I'm starting to guess my weight now.
Well, it looks like I'll have to handle the whole job myself. Give me the pennies you made last night.
Here you are, Chief.
My, production's way up, isn't it?
Yes, the swing shift is doing wonders.
Yes. Well, I'm going into that drugstore and get rid of those slugs. You wait outside here.
Well, there's the scale. Nobody's watching. Here goes.
Well, must be out of order.
It's not out of order, Griselbean. You weigh 162 pounds, and the jig is up.
Keepers, the D-A-S. The D-A-S Prince Alfred.
Why, I guess I might as well throw myself into your arms and give up.
You don't have to throw yourself into my arms.
Listen, don't tell me how to give up.
Well, Bristlebean, are you ready to talk?
Nothing doing. I ain't talking, see?
How would you like a little going over with the brass knuckles?
Yeah, they won't make me talk.
I also carry a rubber hose.
They won't let me talk either.
Well, suppose I give you a little tear.
Settle back, this could be a long story. If you want to know the story of my life, Mrs. D.A., perhaps I'd better read to you from my diary. Everything I've ever done is in this little book, all the way from the first chapter entitled, My Brother Malcolm Was Always Welcome Until the Day He Stole My Talcum, all the way down to the last chapter entitled, How to Remove the Cap from a Beer Bottle Without Breaking the Enamel on Your Wife's Teeth. Now here, my dear, is my first entry. January 31st, 1915. Today I was born. Oh, and what an event. My mother, dear soul, took me up in her arms, looked down at the little bundle of love, and softly crooned, Is you is or is you ain't a baby? Oh, but I didn't care. I didn't care because everyone considered me a miracle child. I was the only infant in history with a full set of teeth, and the doctor was speechless.
How come?
They were his teeth.
But Bristlebean, isn't there anything in your diary about your childhood past home?
Well, yes. The entry for June 16th, 1924 says, Today I discovered a new hobby that I think will last me all my life. Today, I joined the campfire girl.
Oh, now wait. What possible reason could you have for joining the campfire girl?
I was cold. See, I was fond of girls. And naturally, sooner or later, love was bound to kick me in the teeth. And I see by my diary that in 1930 it did.
What was her name?
Well, let me read to you from the diary. It says, July 1st, today I met Alice Honeygreek. July 2nd, I held her hand. July 3rd, I put my arm around her.
Oh, gee. What happened on July 4th?
Nothing. Legal holiday. But I love writing, and I see by my diary that on July 18th, I took my love to the finest jewelry shop in town. Oh, this was the final step. There we stood looking at the window full of diamond rings. She pointed to a 3-carat solitaire, and I squeezed her tiny hand and said, And that Mr. Rutherford, is how I started on my life of crime.
Oh, but don't stop now. I've got to know. Did you finally marry Alice?
Oh, no, I didn't. But I would have married her if I could have gotten my family's consent.
You mean your mother and father objected?
No, my wife and kids.
This is Anne Rutherford saying most sincerely, good night and good luck to you.
Thank you, Anne Rutherford. Other signatures on tonight's mail call include Johnny Mercer, Jerry Moore, Lena Horne, the King Sisters, and yours truly, Harry Von Zell. This program is arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.